Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from Canto 11, Chapter 17, Text 45. Sarva samudra redraja. Sarva samudra redraja.
Sarva samudra redraja.
Piteva vyashanat praja. Piteva vyashanat praja. Atmanam atmanadhiro. Atmanam atmanadhiro. Yatha gaja patir gajan. Yatha gaja patir gajan. Sarva samudhare draja. Piteva vyashanat praja. Atmanam atmanadhiro. Yatha gaja patir gajan. Sarva samudhare draja. Piteva vyashanat praja. Atmanam atmanadhiro. Yatha gaja patir gajan. Sarva. All. Samudharet. Must uplift. Raja. The king. Pita, a father, Eva, like, Vyasanat, from difficulties, Praja, the citizens, Atmanam, himself, Atmana, by himself, Dhira, fearless, Yatha, just as, Gajapati, a bull elephant, Gajan, the other elephants. Translation. Just as the chief bull elephant protects all other elephants in his herd and defends himself as well, similarly, a fearless king, just like a father, must save all of the citizens from difficulty and also protect himself. Purport. Lord Krishna, having concluded his discussion of Brahmanical duties, now describes the character and activities of a king. Protecting all of the citizens from difficulty is an essential duty for the king. We'll read the next couple of verses because they are related to this. Text 46. Evam vido narapatir vimane arka pravarchasam viduyeha shubham kritnam indrena sahamodate. Translation. An earthly king who protects himself and all citizens by removing all sins from his kingdom will certainly enjoy with Lord Indra in airplanes as brilliant as the sun. Text 47. Sidhan vipro vane vritya prane eva padam taret khargena vapadakranto nasva vritya kathanchana. Translation. If a brahmana cannot support himself through his regular duties and is thus suffering, he may adopt the occupation of a merchant and overcome his destitute condition by buying and selling material things. If he continues to suffer extreme poverty even as a merchant, then he may adopt the occupation of a kshatriya, taking sword in hand. But he cannot in any circumstances become like a dog, accepting an ordinary master. Purport. Svavritya, or a dog's profession, refers to the shudras who cannot live without accepting a master. A destitute brahmana who is suffering intolerably may become a merchant and then a kshatriya, but may never take the position of a shudra by working in a company or accepting a master. Although a kshatriya is ordinarily considered more elevated than a vaishya, the Lord here recommends that distressed brahmanas first accept the vaishya occupation since it is not vibrant. Om Agyanati Mirandasya ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुलङ्गयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं विनतारिणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So in this section, till the verses leading up to this verse which we read last, verse 47, Lord Krishna has been extolling the brahminical duties, how a brahmana should conduct himself. He first explained about a brahmana brahmachari, how he should live in his guru's ashram and he should serve his guru and, you know, render menial services to his guru. And he also then described about a brahmana grahastha, how a brahmana grahastha should maintain himself, what sort of occupational duties he should do, how he should study the Vedas and perform sacrifices and preach to maintain himself. And now he has started describing the duties of an ideal king or the leader of a society. Lord Krishna is mentioning in this verse that a king, an ideal king, should spare no means to protect the citizens of his kingdom, be it if he has to fight in a battlefield or even if he has to kill someone in order to protect his citizens. And Srila Prabhupada always states that, you know, unlike today's leaders, the kings in the Vedic times used to follow this principle which Krishna is mentioning over here. They used to be actually in the forefront, in the battlefields, whenever the citizens needed protection. But if we see today's leaders, you know, if we see like America, if it declared a war on Iraq or, you know, they sent their armies, when the president was giving these orders sitting comfortably in his office, he was not in the forefront fighting the battle himself and leading the army. So that is how, you know, society has become, from the ideal king which is mentioned about in Vedic culture to today's leaders. And there are numerous examples of kings who used to follow whatever Krishna has mentioned here in the Bhagavatam. The first king who comes to our mind is Maharaj Prithu. We are studying about Maharaj Prithu in our Bhakti Vaibhav class at the moment. And Maharaj Prithu was an ideal king. He had assumed, he had been coronated as king after King Vena had been killed by the Brahmanas. And Maharaj Prithu, some of the citizens came to Maharaj Prithu saying that, you know, we are extremely like poverty stricken and we are starving because there is not enough food grains which the earth is producing. So now since you are the king, it is your duty to protect us. Please do something about our destitute condition. And Maharaj Prithu becomes extremely angry. So even though here the earth was at fault, Maharaj Prithu actually takes a bow and arrow and then he goes to the earth planet, like to earth personified, to chastise earth. And earth personified, when she hears that Maharaj Prithu is coming, she gets really scared and she assumes the form of a cow and starts running. But even then Maharaj Prithu keeps on running behind the cow. Although, you know, in Vedas it is said that a cow and women and children should be protected. And then when earth tells Maharaj Prithu that, you know, I am a cow and I'm also a woman, because earth is usually a woman, she says that, you know, it is not Vedic for you to kill me, so please save me. But Maharaj Prithu says that since you have committed this sin and my citizens are not being protected, you are not producing enough food grains for their maintenance, then I will have to, even a woman has to be killed if she has done such an abominable act. So we see examples like Maharaj Prithu, that they were not sparing any means to protect their citizens. And the second example which comes to our mind is of Maharaj Yudhishthir. Yudhishthir Maharaj was a Raj Rishi. He was a saintly king. He was not only looking after the material needs of his citizens, but even after the spiritual needs. He used to ensure that in his kingdom everyone is, you know, engaged in religious duties and everyone is trying to rise to the platform of God consciousness. So in the Vedic times, this whole Varnashrama system was very nicely being followed. The kings were ideal, the Brahmanas were ideal, even the Kshatriyas were ideal, and even the Vaishyas and Shudras were ideal. But now if we see in Kali Yuga, the whole system has become totally topsy-turvy. In fact, the Varnashrama system is almost non-existent, and whatever is there is also in a topsy-turvy condition. So as stated in verse 45, the last verse which we read, that a person from a higher Varna, like a person from a Varna of Brahmana or Kshatriya, should not accept the occupation or profession of a lower Varna, like of a Shudra. But we see in Kali Yuga that everyone is a Shudra. It's said in the Skanda Puran, Srila Prabhupada often used to quote, that Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Everyone in Kali Yuga is a Shudra, and everyone is working in the Varna of a Shudra. And virtually, you know, nobody is qualified to accept the higher Varnas of a Brahmana or a Kshatriya. Everyone is just working and serving some master. So this same conversation, a similar conversation was happening in the Srimad Bhagavatam earlier as well, between Yudhishthir Maharaj and Narad Muni. Since we were talking about how Yudhishthir Maharaj was an ideal king, he used to always, since he was a Rajarishi, he used to always take advice from the Brahmanas, and then only he used to do his kingly duties. So Narad Muni had come down and he was giving him, Yudhishthir Maharaj had asked him, that what are the characteristics of a Varnashrama Dharma? Can you please explain to me in detail this system which Krishna has established? And Narad Muni has also stated the same thing which Krishna has stated in verse 47, that a Brahmana and a Kshatriya, these are the higher two Varnas, they should never accept the profession of a Shudra. And that is called as Svavritta, like we read here. Svavritta means a dog's profession. So even Narad Muni has stressed that in Canto 7. And he said that Brahmanas usually should maintain themselves by studying Vedas and utilizing that Vedic knowledge in preaching and also in performing sacrifices. And Kshatriyas, their speciality should be to train themselves in fighting and demigod worship. So these are the two occupations which Brahmanas and Kshatriyas should do, but they should never accept the lower occupations. So goal of Vedic society at that time, like nowadays the goal is lost and everybody is involved in sense enjoyment, but the goal of the Vedic society that time was to ensure that the Vedic society moves systematically closer to Krishna. So attachment to Krishna and attachment to the material world, but are opposite to each other. Srila Prabhupada often states in his purports that sense gratification and spiritual advancement go ill together. And therefore, to save the society from, you know, degrading to sense gratification, Krishna personally came down and he gifted this Varnashrama system to the human beings of this material world. Like it is stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chatur Varnyam Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashah. So Krishna has himself, Maya Shrishtam, means I have established this Varnashrama system. And it has been established based on Guna and Karma, the proclivities and nature of people, as to what occupation and what Varna they want to follow. So the goal, Krishna says, the goal of this Varnashrama system is always that people should gradually elevate themselves to Krishna consciousness by doing their prescribed duties in their Varna and Ashrama. And it is, Srimad Bhagavatam also confirms this point. It is stated in the first canto, second chapter, Atha Pumbir Dvija Shrestha Varnashrama Vibhagashah Svanoshthitasya Dharmasya Sam Siddhir Hari Toshanam. Sam Siddhir Hari Toshanam. What does it mean? The highest perfection one can achieve by discharging prescribed duties in one's Varna and Ashrama is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sam Siddhir means perfection, and Hari Toshanam means to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna himself came and he established this Varnashrama Dharma system in the society so that people with certain natures can start doing certain Varnas and people with certain karma can start doing certain, adopt a certain ashrama. But nowadays in the material world we see that all living entities are totally misidentifying. They have, you know, misidentifications that going through the various bodies that I am this person and I am that person. But the eternal duty actually of a living entity is to be the eternal servant of Lord, as it is stated that Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nitya Das. So it is actually to be the eternal servant of the Lord. But that identity is totally lost in the material world nowadays. People are just identifying with different material bodies that they are accepting through millions of births. And for example, if we go in a mental asylum, we will see that so many people, like there are so many mentally people, mad people sort of, who are identifying. Some people will be saying that, oh, I am the president of this nation. And some person will be saying that I am this and this celebrity. Or somebody will be saying, you know, I'm Bill Gates. I'm that big business magnate Bill Gates. So everybody is misidentifying with a person whom actually they are not. But when the doctor comes, he is actually not concerned with whatever that person is misidentifying. He said, okay, if you think you are the president, that's okay. You are the president of India. Or you think you are a big celebrity, okay. Continue thinking you are the celebrity. But you just take this medicine. So the doctor is not worried about what people are identifying and what those mad people are thinking. He is just concerned that if people take this medicine, then it is slowly they will get rid of these misunderstandings or this misidentification and they will come to their natural constitutional position. So in this case, the medicine is the chanting of the holy name or devotional service to the Lord. So that is why Krishna has established this system that, you know, whatever misidentifications you have, if you just do devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Varnashrama system, then slowly you will come to realize your true position, which is to be the eternal servant of Krishna. And in this way you can achieve the highest perfection of life and go back to Godhead. It is said in the Vedas, Janmana Jayate Shudro Samskarat Bhave Dvija Veda Pathad Bhaved Vipro Brahma Janatiti Brahmana. So by birth, everyone is a Shudra. In Kali Yuga we see, you know, Prabhupada says, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Everyone is a Shudra by birth. But by samskaras or by purificatory processes, by, you know, adopting different samskaras throughout the life, then a person can become Dvija or twice born, like doing the Upanayanam samskara or when the child is going to be born, doing the Garbhadan samskara. Like so many samskaras Prabhupada specifies in Srimad Bhagavatam. So if a person does all these samskaras, then he becomes a Dvija. And the next level is Veda Pathad Bhaved Vipro. So if a person, he gets Vedic knowledge, he studies the Vedas and he starts preaching that Vedic knowledge, then he is a Vipra. And the highest stage, which is Brahma Janatiti Brahmana, means to know the Supreme Brahman or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that person is known as a Brahmana. But we see in Kali Yuga, like it is said, Janmana Jayate Shudra. Everyone is a Shudra. And nobody is, you know, performing any other varna or any other occupational duty except doing Shudra work, like serving someone or working hard to maintain themselves. The qualification of a Shudra, like a Brahmana and Kshatriya, as it was stated, is they should never accept a master of their own. But a qualification of a Shudra is that he has to have a master, he has to serve someone in the material world. And if we see the modern civilization nowadays, modern civilization is just training everyone to become a Shudra. We see so many big organizations coming up, or we see so many technological advancements. And what is happening? And even the whole educational system of the modern civilization, it is just geared to train everyone to become Shudra. Study well so that you can get a good job. And, you know, people may get bachelor's degrees or master's degrees or MBAs or multiple PhDs. But after all that, what? They have to search out a master who will, they will accept anyone and everyone as their master. They will not, you know, see, oh, is he a Brahmana or is he a Kshatriya? Whoever is heading that organization, he will also be a Shudra and they will go and accept that master because that master is going to pay them money. And if they don't find a master, then their life is useless because then they will not get their livelihood. So the whole modern civilization is, you know, geared up towards training everyone as Shudras. And there are no Brahmanas or Kshatriyas. At the most, we sometimes find Vaishyas who are engaged in their own business. So here, Srila Prabhupada is talking about Svavritti. We read, Svavritti means a dog's profession. Either, you know, accepting a dog's profession, which is a Shudra profession, that means to have a master, or serving a dog. And in the material world, serving is compulsory. We see that, you know, everybody, Prabhupada in fact mentions in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, that the dharma of a human being is to serve. So, you know, everybody has to serve someone. But what do the devotees do? Whom do the devotees opt to serve? They opt to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when they serve such a master as Krishna, then Krishna benefits them with eternal life. But we see the non-devotees, or you know, the Svavritta profession, the Shudras of today, they accept anyone and anyone as their master, and they accept unworthy masters. And because of that, their life becomes really miserable. They are not being led back to eternal life in Golok Vrindavan. So we see bells, like, you know, we see dogs, and especially in India, we see that there are two kinds of dogs. There are dogs who have bells around their necks, and there are stray dogs who don't have bells around their necks. So the dogs who have bells around their necks, what does it indicate? It indicates that they have a master. So similarly, the devotees of the Lord have accepted Krishna as their master, and the devotees, for them it's glorious to say that I am the dog of Krishna. And Krishna has also mercifully awarded us a belt to put around our neck, which is our neck beads. So this neck bead claims that we are the dogs, or we are the servants of Krishna. And those people who are not accepting Krishna as their master, who have accepted an unworthy master, they are like the dogs who don't have a belt. And you know, if you've lived in India or if you've been to India anytime, you'll see that the stray dog's life is really miserable. The stray dogs are always under tension, that you know, they are always fearful that somebody will come and hit me, or somebody will come and shoo me away from this lane, or this is my territory and another dog wants to occupy my territory. So then there will be a fight between them, and sometimes the dogs get killed also in that fighting. So always, you know, beltless dogs are in anxiety that, you know, who is going to come and like throw stones at me or something. But we see that, you know, people, dogs who have belts, and that means the dogs who have masters, they don't have this anxiety at all, because they have a master who is providing for them and who is looking after them. Like nobody, no stray dog will come and dare to attack a dog who is being led by a master, because the master is obviously going to shoo that dog away. In fact, the beltless dogs also have this anxiety, especially in India, that, you know, the municipality, like here we have councils, like that the municipality people will come and take them away, and they may impound them any time if there are too many stray dogs in any area. So people are ready to serve dogs, as we see, but you know, especially in Western world, we see there are so many people, almost everyone has a dog as a pet. And they are ready to serve their dogs very nicely, these masters. They provide for the dog, and you know, even in, if you see the flyers of Coles and Safeway which comes into our house, then full two pages will be dedicated for dog food. What are the different kinds of foods you can serve your dog? So much, you know, the society is geared up towards serving these dogs. And we see early in the morning, especially from my house, I can see the masters are taking their dogs for a walk, and they have a plastic bag in their hand. So whenever they have to stop, wherever the dog stops to pass urine, and ultimately when the dog passes stool, they have to pick up that stool of the dog and, you know, throw it in the dustbin. Otherwise the council will fine them. The council levies fines on such people. So Svavritta, dog's profession, or serving a dog, is being followed nowadays in Kali Yuga. Everybody has time to serve a dog, but if you tell them to serve Krishna, they will say, no, we don't have time. We are busy serving dogs. And we see Bhaktivinod Thakur, in fact, prays. He says that I am a dog of Krishna and he is my master. And there is a very nice prayer he has written. It says, Sarvasya tomar charane sampiya, podiche tomara ghare, tumi to Thakur, tomar kukur, boli ho jana ho more. Kukur, tumi to Thakur means master, and kukur means dog. So Bhaktivinod Thakur is saying that, O Krishna, I am your dog and you are my master. You are my eternal master, and please accept me as your dog. And I promise you that I will faithfully serve you throughout my life. So Bhaktivinod Thakur is very happy and very proudly he is claiming that I am the dog of Krishna. And whenever, we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita also that if we are having our master as Krishna or devotees of Krishna, then we are safe and we can achieve the highest perfection of life. And there's an example in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered Shivanand Sen's dog. Shivanand Sen was, you know, Shivanand Sen used to take all the devotees on yatra. They used to travel from Navadvip till Jagannath Puri to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Shivanand Sen used to make all arrangements for the devotees' welfare and, you know, for their comforts during the yatra, providing for their stay, their food and all that. So once, during one such yatra, one dog joined the yatra. And he was always following that yatra, the whole group, wherever the pilgrims, wherever they were going. And Shivanand Sen also saw that this dog is not going away, he is always following, so let me look after the dog. And he felt that he is also a servant of Krishna. So Shivanand Sen was looking really well after the dog. He used to feed him and he used to take care of him, ensuring that the dog is along with the yatra and such things. But one day the dog got lost and Shivanand Sen was in so much anxiety that, oh, where is the dog gone, where is the dog gone? In fact, he sent a few people, can you please go and search for the dog and come. But they couldn't find the dog and Shivanand Sen was so much in anxiety, but the yatra had to continue. So ultimately they reached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And when Shivanand Sen reached there, he saw that that dog whom he was looking for was actually sitting at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. And what was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doing? He was taking some pieces of coconut pulp and he was feeding this dog. And he himself was eating and then he was feeding the dog. So the dog was so fortunate, he was receiving the Mahaprasad of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And obviously, you know, in this way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered that dog. So we see that, you know, if we take up to be a servant, like the dog of even a devotee of the Lord or of the Lord, then we can achieve the highest perfection and we can get eternal life in the spiritual world. So why do we see this svavritti, serving of dog or dog's profession, being so much followed in the material world? So there is a very nice pastime from Mahabharata. This is after Yudhishthir Maharaj had been coronated as the Rajrishi or the king. And he was ruling in Hastinapur and Bhimasen was roaming outside the Hastinapur palace. So a person comes to Bhimasen and he says that, oh Bhima, today in the morning I saw a very amazing thing. And I want to ask you this question. So Bhima says that, what is the question? He says that I have a field in front of my house and there is a fence which is surrounding that field. And the fence is meant to protect my field from, you know, anybody taking the grains away or any animals or something coming inside. And my neighbor also has a field. And our fence, this fence is dividing both the fields. But you know what I saw, Bhima, in the morning? I saw that this my fence, instead of protecting my field, is going to the neighbor's fence and eating the grains from the neighbor's fence. So why is it happening, Bhima? So Bhima says, oh, I'm not so good at answering questions. You know, if there is some Rakshasa troubling you, then please tell me, I can come and kill him. Or if there is some, you know, fighting required to be done, please call me. Any physical strength I can display. But these questions and these intellectual things, please don't come to me. So he said, okay, we'll go to my elder brother. Yudhishthir Maharaj is very good at answering these questions. While they were planning to go, a second person comes in. And he also asked Bhima. He said, Bhima, I also have a question for you. He said that today in the morning, I had a full bucket of water. And let's say the bucket was 10 liters. And he said that I poured the bucket water into different jugs of 1 liter each. So all 10 jugs got filled up. And when I poured the jugs, all the water from the jugs back into the bucket, the bucket did not become full. In fact, it was 3/4 full. It was lesser than the brim. But I did not use the water for any purpose. Then why did it happen, Bhima? Why is it that the bucket did not get full again? So again, Bhima says, no, 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 this is not my forte. We'll go to Yudhishthir Maharaj for answer to these questions. Then a third person comes along. And the third person says that, Bhima, I also have a question. Today in the morning, I also saw an amazing thing happening in our kingdom. I saw a man and he had a needle in his hand. Usually what do we thread through the, like, you know, we thread, use a thread to pass through the needle's eye. But I saw this man was passing a huge elephant through the eye of the needle. And he said, okay, he was using an elephant to thread the needle, like to pass through the eye of the needle. But you know what happened, Bhima? The elephant passed through the eye of the needle, but the tail got stuck. So he said, why this is happening, Bhima? How is it that the elephant passed through the eye and the tail has got stuck? So Bhima was really getting frustrated by this time. He said, I'll take you to my elder brother and he will answer this question. And by the time a fourth person also came to Bhima. He said, I also have a question, Bhima. And Bhima said, okay, what is your question? He said that today in the morning, I saw that when I was traveling, I saw there was a huge rock lying in the middle of the road. And it was so huge and people wanted to pass through. So 10 people were engaged in trying to lift the rock. But they were not able to. It was so big. And then what happened was, a person came along. He was like a Bhagavata, a Vaishnava. He came along and he waved his chadar. Chadar means shawl. He waved his chadar in front of the stone. And then it was so amazing that a small boy lifted the stone and put it aside. So how is it happening, Bhima, that 10 people could not lift the rock and now one small boy has been able to lift this rock and put it aside? So Bhima says, okay, all of you will come. I'll take you all to Yudhishthir Maharaj to answer these questions. So they go to Yudhishthir Maharaj, and when Yudhishthir Maharaj hears all these questions, Yudhishthir Maharaj was very, so much in anxiety, he was a bit aggrieved. He said, all these things are happening in our kingdom, are you all sure? And they said, yes, we saw all these things in the morning. So Yudhishthir Maharaj said that if all these things are happening in our kingdom, then these are very inauspicious signs. That means Kali Yuga is coming. It is the onset of Kali Yuga, and that is why all these characteristics have started happening. So the persons asked that, can you explain then why all these things are happening? So Yudhishthir Maharaj answers that, okay, the first question that, you know, the fence was eating the grains from the neighbor's field. So he said that in Kali Yuga, people are not satisfied at all. They are not happy with what they have. They are always in anxiety and they are always lamenting that, oh, if only I had this, I would be happy. Or if only I had that, I would be happy. If I would be having this degree, then I would be happy. Or if I would be having that possession, I would be happy. Mm-hmm. And you know, if we see the media also gears towards this mentality of people. Like many years ago in India, there was a television ad for Onida TV. It used to show a man holding his TV, and the caption was, neighbor's envy, owner's pride. So, you know, they are trying to promote this, that, you know, if you have this TV, neighbors will envy that you have this, but you will be proud. So Yudhishthir Maharaj explained that, you know, everybody will be lamenting, they will always be in anxiety, they will never be satisfied with what they have. They always want what others have, and they feel that is what will make them happy. So instead, therefore this fence, we take the example of the fence, instead of protecting its own field and being happy with the sphere which it has to protect and it has been given, it wants to eat the grain from the neighbor. So it is not satisfied with doing whatever it has, and he is greedy, he wants more and more. So that is why the fence was eating the grains of the other field. And in the second question, Yudhishthir Maharaj said that, you know, the bucket of water, the jugs got, he filled the jugs and then the bucket did not get full. So he said that in Kali Yuga, even if you help someone, like we see in Kali Yuga, there are many dharmic people who try to help human beings and they do so many philanthropic activities. So he said, you may help as many people as you want and you may render so and so services to people, but don't expect the same help in return. He said that, you know, you may do X number of help for that person, but that person may not respond or reciprocate with you in the same way that you have helped that person. So this is the quality also of the age of Kali, that people are ungrateful. They are kritagna. Kritagna means a person who does, kritagna means a person who does not remember whatever help somebody has rendered to them. Instead of being kritagya, kritagya means, you know, person remembers and is very thankful to a person who has helped him. But in Kali Yuga, the people are kritagna, they are totally ungrateful. They will forget whatever help you have done, or even if they remember, their reciprocation will not be the same. And that is why this happened, that, you know, the bucket gave water to the jugs, but when the jugs gave the water back to the bucket, it was not full, it was just 3/4. And then coming to the third question about the elephant passing through the eye of the needle. So he said this is also the symptom of age of Kali, that people have so much money in Kali Yuga because everybody is working swavritti profession, everybody is doing dog's profession, and everybody is engaged in just amassing hoards and hoards of money. So he said people will have so much money in Kali Yuga, but they will spend all this money in sense gratification. Huge amounts will be used in sense enjoyment. But if you ask them even a single dollar for spending for spiritual activities or in the service of the Lord, they will not do it. Not only, you know, if you go for some donations, like Aindavi Mataji will say, we are doing this telemarketing campaign for Gaur Purnima. So, you know, there's a big list of names which has been distributed to so many people, but hardly a few people out of that are going to give money. They will say, oh, we don't have money, not this year, maybe next year. Some people will directly say, we are not interested. And even if some people say, we are interested, they'll give you a few dollars and send you away. So this is the, you know, sign of the age of Kali Yuga, that people will spend so much money on sense gratification, but when it comes to spiritual activities or spending money for the Lord, that tail will get stuck. in the eye of the needle. So the huge elephant, you know, money for sense gratification passed through the needle, but the tail, which was money to be spent for the Lord and His service, that got stuck. So that is the quality of greediness. And in fact, not only giving to the Lord, they will not give to the Lord, but they will come to the Lord with a list of demands. So they don't want to accept Krishna as their Lord, but they want to expect so many things from Krishna. And you know, they'll put maybe $1 or something like that and expect Krishna should give them 10 crores in return. So this is the symptom of age of Kali Yuga, very greedy people. And the fourth answer, he said, that huge rock being lifted by 10 people and the man waving the chadar. He said that in, Yudhishthir Maharaj explained, that in Kali Yuga people are spiritually very lazy. Materially they are not lazy. Materially people are extremely active. And that is why we see so many big buildings coming up and so much of technological advancement which was not there in the previous ages. So materially extremely active, extremely hardworking, but spiritually totally lazy. Nobody has time for self-realization and nobody wants to spend any money also for self-realization. So he said, but when a Mahabhagwat comes, like that Mahabhagwat came and waved his chadar, so that waving the chadar is like showing his mercy. By waving the chadar, a Bhagavata or a Vaishnava is showering his blessings on people so that they can take up the task of self-realization. And that is why when that Mahabhagwat came and waved his chadar, he showered his mercy, and that is why the small boy could lift the rock. So same way when we see, you know, when any devotees, elevated devotees are visiting our Melbourne temple, like when Bhurijan Prabhu comes or Devamrit Maharaj comes, and we attend their seminars, we attend their Bhagavatam classes, or we attend their retreats, then how much of consciousness feels uplifted, so much elevated we feel in our consciousness. And after attending these classes by all these Mahabhagwats, we feel that devotional life becomes very easy. Chanting attentively is easy. Otherwise we are always, you know, it's a Herculean task to chant attentively. But it becomes much easier to do any devotional service after we have attended these retreats and after a Mahabhagwat has come and shown his mercy. So even in Srila Prabhupada's life, we see this example, like how he used to show his mercy. Although everybody was entrapped in Maya and, you know, self-realization was a Herculean task, but when Srila Prabhupada used to go to any temple, how easy it used to become for the devotees to do their devotional service. So during the early days of ISKCON, there was one fashionable lady who used to visit a temple. The temple was an upcoming temple and devotees had just gone there. And they were doing nicely devotional service and they were serving the deities. But this lady, fashionable lady, used to come, and the devotees always used to sort of reject her because she used to dress up like that and come, and you know, not in very Vedic and Vaishnava attire. She used to dress up very fashionably and come. So the devotees always used to keep telling her, like despising her and telling her that you are not this body, you are the soul, don't be on the bodily platform of life, you should not dress like this and come to the temple. You know, always sort of rejecting and despising her for her personality and the way she used to dress. So this lady was feeling very dejected, and because the devotees were trying to force Krishna consciousness on her, so she was feeling very dejected, and she thought, I should leave this movement and go. And while she was thinking like that, she heard that Srila Prabhupada is coming to visit that temple. Prabhupada used to make a point to visit all his temples regularly. So she heard Srila Prabhupada is coming, and she said, okay, before leaving the movement, once I will meet the spiritual master of this movement and let me see what he has to say about, you know, my personality. So Srila Prabhupada came to the temple, and this lady, as usual, she was dressed in a very fashionable way when she came to attend the lecture by Srila Prabhupada. And at the end of the lecture, all the devotees, some of the people were going and meeting Srila Prabhupada personally. So similarly, this lady also went. And when Srila Prabhupada saw this lady, the first thing Srila Prabhupada told this lady, like, Prabhupada was an expert preacher and he was a pure devotee of the Lord. So he could immediately sense the mood of this lady. So as soon as Srila Prabhupada saw this lady, he said that, oh, you are so nice looking. So you are so beautiful and you are so nicely dressed. So Prabhupada immediately glorified her for whatever she was dressed and whatever, you know, beauty she was displaying or dress she was displaying. And that lady was so enlivened by Prabhupada's glorification. She was thinking that like all other devotees, Prabhupada will also chastise her. That, you know, why you're on the bodily platform, you should not come like this to the temple, wear a sari and come. She thought Prabhupada will do all these things. But Prabhupada just glorified her and said that you are so beautiful, your personality is so nice. Prabhupada just mentioned all these things. And this glorification of Prabhupada touched that lady's heart so much that from the very next day she gave up dressing fashionably. And she came in a Vedic attire to the temple. She was nicely dressed in a sari with head covered, and she was wearing neck beads and applied tilak, and she started chanting Hare Krishna, and she took devotional life so seriously. So Prabhupada knew exactly how, you know, to bring a person out of the clutches of Maya, and for her it was a big task to dress up nicely as a devotee and start doing devotional service. But Prabhupada, as a Mahabhagavat, he waved his chadar, he showed his mercy and brought this lady out of that mindset of being on the bodily platform. And the second example where Srila Prabhupada did this was of Shyam Sundar Prabhu. Now Shyam Sundar Prabhu, as most of you know, was a carpenter, and he was the person who first cowed the Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra deities in the temple, in San Francisco temple. So he was carving these deities, and Srila Prabhupada used to go from time to time to see how, whether he's, you know, carving the deities properly and whether the proper features are coming up. So once when Srila Prabhupada went to see the progress of work, Shyam Sundar Prabhu was, obviously he was not Shyam Sundar Prabhu at that time, he was a new devotee. And he used to smoke cigarette. He had still not given up smoking cigarette. So when Prabhupada went to see the progress of the deities, he saw that there was a half-burned cigarette lying on Baldeva's head. And Prabhupada realized that Shyam Sundar Prabhu, while smoking, he's carving the deities. So, but Prabhupada did not chastise him. Prabhupada was so expert. He just told Shyam Sundar Prabhu that, why are you allowing this one small piece of cigarette to come between you and Krishna? And he said that Krishna, achieving Krishna is so easy, but you know, it's just that you're allowing the cigarette to be in between both of you. And Prabhupada did not speak anything else except this. Then he just discussed about the dimensions of the deities and how nicely Shyam Sundar Prabhu was engaged in carving the deities and all that. So only these words Prabhupada spoke, but because Shyam Sundar Prabhu was an extremely intelligent person, he immediately realized what Prabhupada was trying to tell him. And from the next day onwards, he gave up this habit of smoking. And he said that, no, Prabhupada has said this is going to come in my way of Krishna consciousness, then why I should continue this habit? So immediately he gave it up. So we see that, you know, Prabhupada was an expert preacher, and how he knew to raise people from the consciousness of bodily, and from bringing them out from their bad habits. So these are few examples that when a great devotee comes and showers his mercy, it is very easy to perform bhakti in the presence of these devotees. And also in the verse 47 which we read, Krishna was saying that higher varnas should not accept the profession of a lower varna. And even if they have to, then they should accept the profession of, like, your brahmana should accept the profession of a vaishya or a kshatriya, but never that of shudra, like swavritti profession. So that emergency situation is known as tatkal varnashrama system or emergency varnashrama system, when a brahmana is not able to do his own occupational duties and therefore he has to do the occupational duties of another varna. So similarly, there are four types of varnashrama system, out of which one is this tatkal varnashrama or emergency varnashrama which Krishna is talking about. And the first varnashrama system is asuri varnashrama. So asuri varnashrama is also known as demoniac varnashrama system. And in this system, a person adopts the garb of a particular varna or a particular ashrama. The aim is only to exploit people. And it is only to amass wealth or to amass prestige for their own sense gratification. Like, for example, we see a thief who is dressed as a policeman, and then he will cheat the people and, you know, take away some possessions of the people. Or even we see some cheater who wants to amass wealth, he'll be dressed in the garb of a guru or a spiritual leader, and he will, you know, do it only for his own sense gratification and false prestige. So this is called as asuri varnashrama system. And even in the Vedic times, there are examples of how this asuri varnashrama system was being followed. We have the example of Shukracharya. Shukracharya was, although the spiritual master of Bali Maharaj, but Bali Maharaj, you know, he did not give the right instructions to Bali Maharaj. In fact, he was telling him, no, you don't serve this Vishnu, don't serve this Vishnu, because he will take everything away from you. So he wanted, you know, to maintain his own position, and he wanted to continue getting remuneration from Bali Maharaj. Therefore, Shukracharya told him not to serve Vishnu. So this is nothing but asurik varnashrama system. The second type of varnashrama system is called as samanya varnashrama. So samanya means ordinary or ritualistic varnashrama system. In this Varnashrama system, people will normally follow, you know, some occupation, prescribed duty of a Varna or an Ashrama, but just for the ritual sake, they will follow. And for example, you know, a policeman in India or even in Australia, the policemen are restricted. They have been given their area of work to do. And if a person from another area comes and says that, oh, I have so-and-so problem or somebody is troubling me, then they will say, no, we are restricted in this area. You go to the policeman of that area. Or even in, you know, in India we see that Brahmanas, so-called Brahmanas or Vadyars, they are called South Indian Vadyars, they are just engaged in, you know, doing some ritualistic activities. But the goal is not clear. The goal is not to take people back to Krishna. Just the rituals are being followed in this Samanya Varnashrama system. And for this also there is an example from the Vedas. And the example is of the Yajnik Brahmanas. In Krishna book we read that past time. So how they were so ritualistic minded and they were so engrossed in performing their daily rituals of performing the yajnas and you know, carrying out these yajnic activities, that when Krishna and Balaram himself sent the cowherd boys that, you know, we want some food, we are very hungry, but they were totally absorbed in their ritualistic activities and they did not offer any food to Krishna or any for the satisfaction of the Lord who had himself come to beg for food. So this is Samanya Varnashrama, wherein the duties of Varna and Ashrama are being followed, but only for a ritualistic purpose and the goal is not clear. Like the Yajnik Brahmanas did not know that the goal is actually to serve Krishna and Balaram. So in Kali Yuga we see that only these two Varnashrama systems are followed. Either it is Asuric Varnashrama system, or we will see sometimes Samanya Varnashrama system is being followed. And you know, everybody is pervriti, like everybody is just doing the occupation or varna of a shudra, accepting a master and serving the master. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that without the division of society in the divine varnashrama system, then you know, peace and prosperity will not be there in the society. And this brings us to the third type of varnashrama system, which is called as Dairi Varnashrama system. So Dairi Varnashrama system, I was reading this website called varnashrama.org, and there are very nice articles which about Srila Prabhupada which have been posted there on Varnashrama. And there Prabhupada mentions that Dairi Varnashrama system is a system where every Varna and every Ashrama has a central goal. They all have shared, common shared value, and which is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the goal is central and their goal is very clear. Everybody is doing their prescribed duties to serve with an aim to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like we read in the verse before, Sam Siddhir Hari Toshanam. They are achieving the highest perfection, Hari Toshanam, pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is called as Daivi Varnashrama system. And in Daivi Varnashrama system, even, you know, if a person is, let's say, a Shudra, he is actually in the Varna of a Shudra. But because every Varna and Ashrama has a common goal to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Prabhupada says that then he should be treated as the highest Vaishnava. And we see this example in the Vedas, like in Chaitanya Charitamrita we see how Advaita Acharya used to respect Haridas Thakur so much. Haridas Thakur was from a so-called Mleccha family. He was from a Muslim family, but Advaita Acharya knew that Haridas Thakur is the Param Vaishnava. He is such an elevated, pure devotee. So he is not a Shudra, and when Advaita Acharya had done some Pinda ceremony for, like Shraddha ceremony for his forefathers, so after the Shraddha ceremony you have to feed all the Brahmanas. But Advaita Acharya first called Haridas Thakur to have the food. And Haridas Thakur said, no, I'm a Shudra, please don't call me to have this food. But Advaita Acharya was very clear, he knew what is Dairi Varnashrama system. And he said that if I feed you, I have fed millions and millions of Brahmanas, because you are a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. So even though he was a Shudra, but because Daivi Varnashrama system was there, so it was, the goal was clear. And the fourth category is this, what is being discussed in verse 47, which is called as Emergency Varnashrama or Tatkal Varnashrama system, wherein, you know, if a person is not able to maintain his Varna or Ashrama by doing the occupational duties or the prescribed duties of his Varna, then he adopts or accepts the profession of a lower Varna or a lower Ashrama. And we see in modern day also we see this being followed. Like if there is a war which has been declared and the army doesn't have sufficient people, then they will take the common people. They will call all common people and they will give them some training and they will send them to fight. So normally this is not done. It should not be a, you know, regular daily routine. But it should be done only in emergencies. Then it is called as Tatkal Varnashrama system. And we also see in Vedic times as an example of Tatkal Varnashrama, we see Parshuram. Lord Parshuram was actually born to a sage. He was from a Brahmin family, but when he saw the Kshatriya kings were coming and troubling his father, and they beheaded his father and took their Kamadhenu Kavave, then Parshuram took up the role of a Kshatriya to chastise all the irreligious kings of the earth. So these four Varnashrama systems are there, but unless the Daivi Varnashrama system is present, where goal is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no question of peace or prosperity in the material world. And Srila Prabhupada knew, especially in the Western countries when he went, that there was no, forget about Varnashrama system, everybody was a Shudra, everybody was serving dogs. So Prabhupada knew that there was no question of establishing Varnashrama system right now. Right now, let me just engage them in chanting the holy name of the Lord. And once a person starts chanting the holy name of the Lord, then automatically, because he engages himself in the service of the Lord, he will start doing services according to his proclivity or according to his nature. Like Krishna says, guna karma vibhagashaha. Depending on your nature and depending on the qualities you have, you will start doing some service for the Lord. So once the chanting of the holy name is there and people are engaged in the service of the Lord, then naturally people who are very intellectual, like, you know, Brahmanas are supposed to be the intellectual head of the society. So even in ISKCON we will see people normally who are intellectual, they will start serving in that way. They will start preaching, they will study the Vedas, and they will take up such Brahmanical duties. Or if we see the people who are Vaishyas and who are chanting the holy names and serving the Lord, then they will use that tendency. They will, you know, financially support the movement by whatever wealth they have earned. So that is the Vaishya tendency. Or people who have Kshatriya tendency, and they are also engaged in serving the Lord, then their natural proclivity will be to take up services like being temple commander, like how to protect the temple or how to get services done in the temple. So that is Kshatriya mentality. And there are some people who may not be able to fit into all these three categories. Then what will they do? They are very happy to serve these three category of devotees, the intellectual devotees, Vaishya devotees, and Kshatriya tendency devotees. So that is, you know, in so-called Varnashrama system, that is the Shudra. They accept someone as their master and they serve that master. So everybody in a Daivi Varnashrama system is very happy. There is no competition that, oh, I want to, like the fence was eating another field's grains. That I want to, you know, oh, why I can't be like that business magnate? Or the Kshatriya starts thinking, why I can't be like that Brahmana? So there is no competition and there is no envy among the Daivi Varnashrama system people. And thus when the Daivi Varnashrama system was established by Prabhupada, naturally people were engaged in serving the Lord according to their natural proclivities. And everyone was happy. And because the goal of the system was very clear, that to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada stressed so much on this Daivi Varnashrama system being established, especially in ISKCON, and using people's natures in a similar way. And he said that this is the only solution for having proper, like, normal peace and prosperity in this material world. So we'll end here. It's already 8:40. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.